Coming up, we're going to talk about the Libertarian Party, which is the third largest party. Some people say the least organized party, but that may be something in its favor. We'll be talking with a guest about that after a news update with Robert Lang. Happy Friday to you, children. The Ron Smith Radio Show from WBAL continues in its second half. And we're joined in studio by Joe Seehusen, who's the incoming executive director of the Libertarian Party. Now, we've had all sorts of calls, Joe, to have people, have Bednarik on. We're going to have him on, the Libertarian presidential candidate. We're going to have him on Monday, right, in the 5 o'clock, or Tuesday, in the 5 o'clock hour. But people are, we have a lot of Libertarian listeners because Libertarians are attracted to talk shows and political matters and so on. So we thought that we would do this and that we could find out, first of all, why should people care that there's a Libertarian Party when we have a system where, it's one party, two divisions, and, Republicans win, the Republicrats win, or the Republicans. And why should we care about the Libertarian Party?
It really is one party with two mascots, isn't it? And I think Americans should care about this if they genuinely care about their freedoms and if they genuinely care about keeping the monies that they earn. And what you have now is the voters do not have a genuine choice. They have a choice between Mr. Bush, who will make the government bigger than ever before, and Mr. Kerry, who will make it bigger as well. Both of them advocate our being in Iraq, and they both advocate big government solutions to most everything, in spite of what they say. In the Libertarian Party, we advocate free markets, and we advocate civil liberties.
And open borders.
That is part of our policy as well.
Which is something that separates you from paleo-libertarians.
Well, I'm not sure of that terminology. I think in terms of the borders, I think what we would say is people are welcome, but they must pay their own way. So they do not get subsidies from the government and welfare checks.
Well,
they basically come in and earn their own way would be our position typically on the border.
It would also be a reversal of decades of social policy, but Milton Friedman, the Nobel laureate, has said that if there's one thing that doesn't work, it's a welfare state with open borders. And that, of course, is what...
Well, that's exactly what we seem to have, don't we? And I think what we would say is, as my grandparents came in years ago, welcome, glad to have you here. Now earn your own way, and no one said it's easy, but you dig in and find the resources and make it work.
All right. People have asked me in the past, because they know I have certain libertarian instincts and so on, and they say, well, why don't you vote libertarian, or why don't you give more time to libertarian candidates, and so on and so forth. And my stock retort has always been that the libertarian movement is great for generating ideas, many of the most valid ideas you're going to find in the political arena, but a terrible failure up to this point in terms of organizing anything, getting candidates elected at grassroots levels, which is what you have to do to build an actual functioning political party. And so far, the Libertarian Party has failed in that task, it seems to me.
Well, it's a good point. And I'm a year or so in on the job, coming in really out of the business world. And I sat down with some people in Washington to say, hey, how does this political thing work? And they said, look, it's about money. And that was an epiphany for me when I realized that you can have the best ideas in the world. You can champion liberty. You can champion free markets. But if you do not have the money and you don't have the resources to be able to run the campaigns to, in our case, just simply get on the ballot. It costs us a fortune to get on the ballot. We're on the ballot in 48 states for our presidential candidate, Michael Bednarik. But that's a Herculean effort just to do that. You have a monopolistic system with the Republican and the Democrats.
Well, they drew up the rules.
Certainly.
And the rules are to exclude anyone else. Witness Ralph Nader's attempt to get on the ballot. What's he's just in a handful.
Sure. When Ralph announced the next day, the New York Times front page said that the Democrats were going to do anything and everything in their power, including sue, to keep him off the ballot. And I said, hey, Ralph, welcome to the club. The last thing that the Republicans want is they don't want to give up their monopoly. They don't want competition. The politician's main job, and really his only job, is to keep his job. And he does that by giving away other people's money.
Now, the Libertarian Party has been afflicted since its founding with repeated schisms. I mean, you know, it's incredible. They go off one way and another, and, you know, the original people who founded the Libertarian Party were later made to be outcasts, and, you know, just, is it inimical to have people who are these believers in individual liberty above all to actually cohere as a political party? I mean, isn't that the essential difficulty that the libertarians face?
And that's really the our chairman, Michael Dixon, and myself and other leaders in the party. I mean, we believe that it's time for our party to actually do the hard work of being in politics. And I tell you, I was attracted a few years back when I got involved with the libertarians. I'm a recovering Republican. I was attracted to their passion for liberty and their passion for their ideology and for championing free markets and personal responsibility. And the last thing that we're going to do is to give up on that. However, the real world of winning elections is about raising the money and getting the candidates and getting the media. When people see our candidates, when they see Michael Badnarik, when they see our state and county candidates, they look at what they're offering. They look at the monopolistic Republican and Democrats, what they're offering, and they, in record numbers, increasing numbers, they choose us. Because we represent something fresh and new and yet something very traditional in this country.
Let's take a phone call from Lorenzo, who, unless I miss my guess, is someone who has run for office right here in Baltimore as a libertarian, correct?
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi, Ron.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Lorenzo, Ron, how are you?
Good, how you doing? Yeah, Ron, first of all, congratulations on having Joe on. I think it's a terrific idea in a public service. Secondly, I like to point out you asked a very good question about whether we're running people at the local level, if we're trying to build any grassroots. Well, I'm currently running as city council in Baltimore for the 2nd District, and I'm running a real campaign. I'm knocking on all the doors. I'm running through my whole district. This is not a fluff campaign. I'm putting ads in the paper. I'm putting ads on the radio. So, and I know I'm not alone, Ron. It's a tough call, but I'm not alone. And we've met before. You interviewed me before.
Yeah, I know. Huh.
Yeah, yeah. So that I like to just add to what Joe was saying regarding the grassroots. We have actual grassroots going, even in Maryland, where it seems to be so impossible for any third party. You know, it's really exciting because right now every incumbent in the city's government, and they all happen to be Democrats, every one of them is being challenged. Every single one, except for the controller. So maybe times are changing, you know, and
maybe.
It's about time, too.
All right. Well, Lorenzo, good luck.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
See you, Joe.
Mm-hmm. So that was interesting because that is exactly the kind of effort you do need.
Well,
that's
real.
Grassroots efforts.
Right. I tip my hat to the libertarians and libertarian parties for understanding and preserving this wonderful insight about liberty and about our Constitution, about our Bill of Rights. And now it's time to couple that with the real-world work of politics. And politics is about the money, and it is about the grassroots campaign and knocking on the doors and the stuff that the Republicans and Democrats do. They have that well. They have that down. Unfortunately, however, they've lost their essence. They've lost so much of what was important to them. And there was a time when Republicans seemed to genuinely believe in a smaller government and genuinely believe that people could keep their money, and a time when Democrats thought civil liberties was a pretty good idea. And right now, in both parties, those parties do not champion or act upon those principles.
Joe Seehusen is the man whose voice you just heard. He's the incoming executive director of the Libertarian Party, and he's here in studio with us on the Ron Smith Show. More, we'll take your phone calls at 410-467-WBAL after we check traffic.
Ron, you raised a really good point, and it kind of begs the question to Joe, and that you guys need to get more of a grassroots effort going. So you said you spent a lot of money getting your candidate on the ballot, 48 states, and to me, that the reality is that the ant's not going to move that rubber tree plant, but it can lift the leaf. So, wouldn't you guys think that you'd be better off spending that money on, let's say, some mayoral candidates of major cities?
It's a real good point, and the correct answer is we've got to spend it everywhere. The FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, is run by the Democratic and Republican appointees. The last thing they want is competition. They and the states have set up tremendous barriers for the third parties, the Green, the Libertarians, the Constitutions, etc., to get on any of the tickets because the last thing they want is competition. And We are now, the Libertarian Party is really revitalized. We are about to bring this message of freedom and free markets and civil liberties to this country, which is these are the founding principles of this country. This is nothing new. They're new to many people because the Republican and the Democratic politicians don't talk about it. What they talk about is what they can do to keep their job and take your money and have government be more increasingly intrusively involved in your personal life.
I agree. I just don't, you know, I would just think that, I mean, at least I haven't seen it. I've been around the country quite a bit where I lived in many states, and I've just never seen it, a city, let's say, a good conservative city where you guys would stand a chance, a really major push on something like that. I think that would be a really good starting point. You know, you take a fairly well-known city that is primarily Republican and really attack there and get some a name in the major news. So.
Good strategy, and we're of course in 50 states. Got a nice group here in Maryland, Oregon, Washington, and Indiana are particularly strong states for us. We have over 600 people in office, a couple of mayors, small towns, some city councils, a lot of supervisors.
So at the beginning.
It's a beginning.
It's a bare beginning.
It's the very beginning. And what's happened is, in those cases where they're a county supervisor, they reduce taxes. They do a good job governing. And, of course, that's how you get into the game of politics is get the name recognition.
All right, so, Martin. Thanks.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
You launched a TV advertising campaign, what, yesterday?
Yeah, a couple days ago. It's probably $100,000 or so, which is just a fraction of what the big boys spend probably in a given day. But it gets the message out, and the ad basically is a couple, married couple, talking about who do we vote for. We don't like Bush, and we don't like Kerry. We feel kind of left out, And we believe, some people say, why would you waste your vote with a third-party Libertarian candidate? And I flip it around and I say, why would you waste your vote with a majority party candidate? Because when you vote, what you're saying is you are endorsing. If you vote for George Bush, you are endorsing George Bush. If you vote for Kerry, you're endorsing Kerry. If you vote for our candidate, Michael Badnarik, what you're saying is, while we realize he may not win the White House, you're saying that you endorse what he stands for, what Michael Badnarik
stands for. What about those who would raise the point that voting for Badnarik could indeed be decisive in this election, and one would have to assume that most of the votes the Libertarians would drain away from the major party candidates would come from the president, and if indeed that was a factor in a Kerry win, how would you answer to having the exemplar of big government being elected in this election because of Libertarian activity?
Well, and we're complimented that the big parties think that we take from them. The Republicans do think we take from the Republican Party, and the Democrats firmly believe we take from them. We actually believe we take from both, but more importantly, we bring out the 70-80 million voters that don't vote, that stay at home because they don't feel they have a legitimate choice. And that's what we ask people to do, is to come out and to affirm what you do stand for. Many people are just voting out of a tribal allegiance to their party, listening to the rhetoric, not really digging beneath the surface to see what it means in their life. And typically with Mr. Kerry and Mr. Bush, it means big government. With Mr. Badnarik, it means a return to looking at what would be involved in a real constitutional-based government.
All right, that's Joe C. Houston, Executive Director of the Libertarian Party. That's the topic of our discussion right now. All right, we have some phone callers who have questions and comments that they would like to make directed at Joe Seegerson. And so Joe's going to stay with us for a bit after the 5 o'clock news, and